I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sports ad free. That's amazon.com/sports ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Velkommen til 4 Eurosports golfpodcast som relanseres I ny drakt. Nå vi endelig tilgjengelig på alle plattformer. Og det deilig, Marius.
Det fantastisk, Espen. Og vi starter det hele på det perfekte stedet, nemlig I Scottsdale, Arizona.
Ja, dagen før det brakeløs I Waste Management Phoenix Open, så sitter vi faktisk I huset til Chad, som en kompis av Victor Hovlands caddy Shay Knight. Og Shay, han vår gjest I denne spesialepisoden.
Bedre kan det ikke bli.
All right. Shay Knight, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me. Yeah, it's good to be here.
Yeah. I mean, people at home, they know you as Victor Hovland's caddy, people in Norway. But we want to know a little bit more about you. Can you just give us a quick rundown on who is Shay Knight?
Well, I'm an Australian guy with two left feet. But, yeah, born in Australia, born in Sydney, came over here about 13 years ago with Matt Jones, who's I played golf with from the age of 15, 41 now. So, yeah, came over with him, did the Nationwide at the time. He got his PGA Tour card and, yeah, worked with him for 5.5 years. We parted ways, God, I can't even remember now, but ended up working for DJ Trahan for about, I think it was like 6 events. And then Martin Laird, who's this Scottish guy calling the Angry Scotsman, worked with him for nearly 2 years. Got fired from him and then went and worked for Sean O'Hare for 5 years, exactly. Yeah, so that's what I've been doing for 13 years. Married, 2 kids, 2 girls, 7-year-old and a 3-year-old. They're my world. Yeah, I miss them every time I'm on the road, but yeah, it's rewarding as well, yeah. Doing what I do.
So, being a caddy on the PGA Tour, can you tell us a bit, little bit about what's the best things about it and the worst things, if there is any worst things?
I think the best thing is the worst thing. Traveling. I love traveling. I love meeting new people, experiencing new places. Yeah, just the different cultures. Going to Abu Dhabi in Dubai last week, it was an awesome experience, but on the flip side of it, you know, being away from my family, it's extremely difficult, especially when you've got 2 girls. Mm. Yeah,
what's your favorite place on tour?
I'd say Hawaii. Hawaii is always a great place to start. Yeah. It really is. It's warm. You get out of the cold weather of living in South Carolina, so get out of the cold weather of there and yeah, go to a tropical place and yeah, just it always seems to brighten up my world.
Pretty good start to the year.
For sure.
Because I've always thought about the PGA Tour that, I mean, the season is so long, especially on the PGA Tour, and then there's like a 2-week break and then it starts again. I mean, I see some of the best, at least the best players, they take a longer break because they can afford it.
For sure.
But I mean, the players who are struggling to maybe like keep their card and so on, they have to, I mean, basically play as much tournaments as they can.
Yeah.
How is it for you, like being, how is it to be a caddy with that kind of hectic schedule all year round? I mean, well, do you have any time for breaks or?
Well, that's a good thing about being a caddy because when you're on the road, obviously, you know, for this, in this instance, I've been on the road for 2 weeks. This is my 3rd week. But when I go home, I'm home. I don't have any responsibilities apart from being there with my family. So it's not like a golfer where they've got to continue to practice and to continue the grind.
So it's not like you sit with a cell phone and like...
Exactly. No. Mm. Like I try to turn it off and just get away from that life, so to speak. Yeah. So when you have a...
Do you find it easy to like turn the switch off? Because it's quite intense when you're on the tournament and it's...
If you ask my wife, she'll say I don't turn it off.
No.
Because it is difficult to go from being on the road and doing what we do and having the pressures of what we do to going home and being a family man, for sure.
It's hard maybe not to talk about it. If you had a good week with Victor, you kind of want to talk a little bit about it when you go home, but how is your wife in that regard?
It depends what day I get her on.
Yeah.
If she's had a good day with the kids, then it makes it easier. But if she's had some hectic days, like she's had the last couple of days, then it's a difficult conversation to have, that's for sure.
I know there's a special little story but it's a nice story to get to know how you ended up on Victor's bag, because he was coming out, about to turn pro, great amateur career, a lot of people talking about him, big expectations. How did you end up on the bag?
It was funny because I introduced myself to Victor Mexico the previous year when he was an amateur.
Yeah, his first start?
Exactly. Yeah. No. Yes.
Yeah, his first start on the tour as an amateur.
As an amateur.
Yep.
And he was going to Australia the following week to go and play at the Australian Open in Sydney. And so I just went up to him and introduced myself. And, you know, it was literally a five-minute conversation. And I want to be there for Ryder Cups. I want to be there for majors. I want to win major championships.
Mm.
And seeing his... the caliber of player that he was as an amateur, I really thought that was a good opportunity to maybe delve into that side of his game. And so we ended up getting in contact with his agent, which is Sam McNaughton.
Mm.
And pretty much just went from there. It was funny because I was still working for Sean. And then he got injured in February.
All right.
And then I didn't have a bag. So I was looking for work. And then obviously it escalated a little bit more once Sean got injured.
Yeah.
And I became available.
Yeah.
I was working for Luke List for a couple of weeks.
All right.
Started with him at Hilton Head. And how many weeks did I do with him? I think I did 4 or 5 weeks.
Okay.
But did the PGA with him. Luke ended up coming sixth, and then Victor called me the Wednesday after the PGA. So that was an interesting phone call to give Luke.
What's that process like? Because Luke List played quite well.
He came sixth at the PGA,
And then you get a phone call from maybe one of the hottest talents.
That's exactly right.
What goes through your mind then is like, I've got Luke List, who's just finished sixth in the PGA, probably going to have quite a good time going forward. Or do I take a chance on Victor? You never know if Victor's going to...
Well, that's exactly right. And that was the hardest part about it because, you know, you see a guy that, like with Luke List, he's got a two-year exemption, he's playing in all the big events, and then I've got a guy like Victor Hovland who I'm taking a serious chance with. You know, he's got 6 starts on the PGA Tour to get enough status to get into the Corn Ferry. If he obviously plays really well, then... he's going to get on the PGA Tour, but it was a chance.
Yep.
But I knew in my heart.
Really trusted your gut.
Yeah, I knew in my heart. I knew in my gut that, you know, this is what I needed to do and this is what I wanted to do. And 99.9% of the time, I go with my gut, and that's what I've done my whole life. So, worked out, fortunately.
So 7 months later, how's the feeling now after you made the gut call?
We have a lot of fun.
It does look like you have a lot of fun on the course.
No,
we've been watching
it. You know, we try to make it as enjoyable as possible. Obviously, certain times it gets really stressful and he gets really uptight, grumpy, stressed.
Mm.
We've seen him go through all the emotions at the course.
Exactly. Yep. Last week was one of them. Yeah. Perfect example was Sunday when it's blowing 30 miles an hour. It's coming out of the west to northwest. It kept switching. The wind was up, wind was down. It was a tough day, and yeah, it was stressful. But on the flip side of it, you know, I wouldn't have it any other way. Yeah, it's been an awesome ride so far.
What does the Because I have experience as well as a player, and I and the relationship with the caddy. What's like your dialogue on the course? What do you talk about, except yardages, bunkers, pins? What do you talk about?
Are we allowed to talk about that?
Yeah, you are. Absolutely. Absolutely.
We talk about Mary. we talk about, it's honestly just...
You don't share his taste for heavy metal music, or
I'm not really into heavy metal music. No. So you know, he tries to use very articulate words in English, which tries to fool me a number of times, which I find quite amusing. I bring up my family a lot. We talk about girls.
Yeah,
we talk about just life in general, really. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Nothing in particular, but yeah, it was kind of funny because we were there last week, and in Dubai they've got you see the skyline, and you see these guys skydiving and jumping out. The chute goes, and he's looking at it. I'm like, "How cool is that?" He's like, "I don't know if I could do that." I'm like, "What are you talking about? Like, I've done it twice." And he's like, "You've done it twice?" I'm like, "Yeah, funny you say that. I actually proposed to my wife." We jumped out and proposed. When she got down onto the on the ground, I had the ring in my hand, and I proposed to her. He's like, "Are you serious?" I'm like, "Yeah." So he said to me during the week, he's like, "If we win, what we're going to do is instead of flying out Sunday night or Monday morning, it was 1:30 flight in the morning, we'll postpone our flight to the following day and go skydiving on Monday." I said, "Deal."
Yeah.
"That's a deal." So he, obviously we didn't win. Get to the airport.
You got cold feet.
I'm sorry?
He got cold feet the last couple
exactly,
of days.
Exactly. But we got to the airport on Sunday night, and he said, "The week we win, wherever we are in the world, we're going to go skydiving in that city."
Amazing.
And I'm like, deal.
All right, we have to remember that as
well. We're going to hold him to that. Yeah. He's going to shit himself, or excuse the French, but...
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's going to be enjoyable. It's going to be a good experience.
I got one question as well, because I don't think most people, just going a little bit backwards, because when you leave a player and go caddy for another player, or you change bags, and how does it work? I have gotten that question a lot of times as well. Is it like a phone call? Is it an email? Is it a text message?
Obviously, you want to try and do it in person.
Yeah.
In Luke List's situation.
Because you're still probably going to see him on tour.
Exactly.
And you've got to keep it all.
With Matt Jones, when Matt Jones and I parted ways, I told him in person.
Yeah.
When Martin Laird fired me, he told me in person.
All right. That's good.
With Luke List, I had to do it on the phone because obviously I wasn't going to see him because I was going to work for Victor the week after.
Yeah.
I kind of remember what event I started with him at.
Travelers?
Travelers, that's right. Yep. That's right. Mm-hmm. So I wasn't sure whether Luke was going to play Travelers.
Mm-hmm.
And, I just thought, I'm a man that likes to tell everyone exactly what I'm doing.
Yep.
And that's pretty much what I did. I just wanted to be as honest as possible.
Yep.
And I expect, people to do that for me.
Yep.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right. I mean, if we look at the season so far for you and Victor, how would you summarize it up until this point?
Obviously, we had an unbelievable start doing what he did. I think it was 19 rounds in the 60s.
Yeah. Was he aware of that?
No.
At the time?
I remember I stood at the outside this, where he delivered the scorecard, and there was a tournament director who told him. Yeah. And he was like, oh, really? And I remember he high-fiving you after him. Yeah.
No, that was cool.
Yeah.
It was, you know, obviously breaking records early is always a good way to start the relationship.
Yeah.
The last couple of months, it's been average.
Yep.
You know, he's tried to, it was funny because he said to me, he feels like he needs to hit guys that know Victor's game, he hits a fade.
Mm.
And he hits unbelievable fades every single time. He wanted to try and hit both shots because he felt like he needed to hit a draw and a fade to be a complete player. So he went and saw Joe Mayo and tried to get the information to be able to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Started on the Asian swing, or started in Mexico, actually. No, was it Mexico? Sorry, it started on the Asian swing and tried to hit both shots, and the problem was his miss was left.
Yeah.
So he had both misses going, which golfers that know, you want a one-way miss. So we had a chat about it, and, you know, I've been trying to convince him that, you know, he doesn't need a swing coach to try and hit a draw.
No.
He should stick to the fade and just get a guy that works on his short game. And fortunately enough, he saw Pat Goss today.
Yeah.
Which was really informative,
yep.
Very positive, and I'm expecting really good things moving forward, that's for sure.
How hard is it for, because as a caddy, you're so close to Victor, and you know, you kind of, after 7 months, you pretty much know his game as your back pocket. How hard is it to tell him that Victor, stop, you're on the wrong way here? Because he's actually like he's your boss in.
Yeah.
Is he stubborn?
Yes.
Is he stubborn in that way? Yeah.
He seems that way.
Yes. but you know, I'm not the type of. I'm not going to tell him what to do. Like he's the boss at the end of the day. I'm going to give him advice on what I think is the right thing to do, and let him do what he needs to do.
Do you feel he's receptive to the advice you give him as well?
Yes and no.
Yes and no. So sometimes...
once again, he's very stubborn. So, he at the end of the day, he's going to do what he wants to do.
Yep.
So, you know, he's going to... If he wants to try and hit the draw, he's going to hit the draw. Yeah. But hopefully he sticks to the fade and listens to me a little bit and, continues improving the short game because that's where I feel that he's going to become a more complete player, being able to improve inside 100 metres, or 80 metres, should we say.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah, because, I mean, back home, people have been, like, not sceptical because of his development, but do you feel like his ambition to hit the, in addition to the fade, the draw, has been a reason why he hasn't kept up that really high standard he set in the beginning of the season?
No, because it's a game of golf. You know, you can't be perfect every single week, every single year.
That's what Marius keeps telling me, but I'm like,
nobody
really
believes me. No, I keep saying the same as you.
You know, from a golfer's perspective, like obviously Tiger did what he did, and you look at that, the results that he generated. You know, people want to see that again. And honestly, I don't know if it's going to happen again. I hate to say that. I hate to burst people's bubbles. But
I agree with you.
Yeah,
I agree with you.
It's very difficult to keep a caliber of performance for that long.
Hmm.
You know, obviously you're going to go through ups and downs. And, you know, obviously he's going to come back and do what he did again. He's going to win tournaments. He's going to win majors. You know, at the moment, it's going through a learning curve. That's the thing. Going onto the PGA Tour and doing what he did was extremely impressive. And, you know, he's playing with the best players in the world. So to be able to do that week in, week out, it's just not viable, unfortunately.
So if we look ahead then to, I mean, the rest of this season, but also like the future in general, where do you see Victor Hovland going? I mean, just in the short term first, how much do you think he can improve just this season?
Oh, you know, I think he can improve his short game 100%. You know, I think, you know, the improvements that he made today, for instance, being able to see spin on the ball, being able to see speed into the ball, he's never had that. So to be able to see that and generate that confidence, because that's the problem. Like, he, on average, he hits, you know, 75% of greens. So if he's missing, you know, four greens around and he's only getting up and down, say, 50%, that means he's guaranteed to have two bogeys. If he has a couple of three putts, you know, there's a couple more bogeys. So he, to be able to generate the confidence if he misses a green, which is going to encourage him to be more aggressive going into holes, which is going to lower his scoring, which is going to be to make him a more complete player for sure. So yeah, I definitely see a lot better results this year. I'll be very surprised if he doesn't win a couple of times, and yeah, do what he knows he can do, for sure.
How much, like, because we, as a player, you always put the most pressure on yourself. He's got a lot of people expecting him to do this and to do that, and he's being, in his fourth tournament, he's being the odds favourite, so all of a sudden, how do you feel, like, you see him up close, how do you feel he's handling the pressure, both from people around, but also from himself?
That's a good question, because Hobby keeps everything pretty close to his chest. So to give you an answer, I don't know a definitive answer, but, you know, it's funny because we're at the airport once again in Dubai, and he's reading, I don't know if it was an article in Norway where, you know, people were disappointed in the fact that he started off so well and now he's not faltered, but, you know, he's
not me.
He hasn't got the results that everyone's expecting, and, you know, they're talking
people
about...
People in Norway are greedy when it comes to sports.
For sure.
But, you know, I think he's a very passionate person. He's a very passionate player. I think he's going to really look forward to, you know, playing for Norway in the Olympics. I know he's really excited about that. And, yeah, playing for his country and hopefully doing Norway proud, for sure.
He's done Norway proud already a lot, and the interest in golf is growing as well. And as he was said there, we got these questions after Abu Dhabi, after Dubai. I got the questions like, is his head in the right place? Has he been practicing enough? As I said, like, he's been playing golf constantly for 7 months now. Give him some break. Look at the numbers. He's currently now his third in strokes gained total. That means he's the third best, basically the third best player.
And that's the thing, like, you know, what Hovey was doing early on, you know, with his ball strike was phenomenal. Like, to be compared with Rory McIlroy and Adam Scott, like, those three together was a huge achievement in such a short time.
Exactly.
Do you have any more before we go to the...
Now we can go to the questions.
Twitter questions. We have some questions here from Tore. He's wondering about what you consider to be Victor's strengths, biggest strength and weaknesses in his current game. You have...
Obviously, his biggest strength is his driver. You know, you put his driver in his hand every hole if you can. And his weaknesses are his short game, which, as I said today, is going to improve out of sight. Mm.
And Roy is wondering about how difficult is it to keep up his mood when the slumps come and he acts like grumpy on the pitch, like we have been. I think what he's asking more specifically is how you specifically work with him to like get over those.
How do you keep him smiling?
Slumps. How you keep him his mood up?
See, that's the thing. Sometimes you just need to let him go.
Yeah.
I think there's a time and a place when you need to say something. I don't. Obviously, there's been times when he's got really pissy and, you know, tell him to get his head out of his ass. And there's other times like last week where, you know, he's grinding and you can tell he's grinding, and he's in a pissy mood, but he's obviously still concentrating, still trying to focus on doing what he needs to do, and you just let him go.
Yeah.
So that's the key, in my opinion, to being a good caddy, to know when to say something and when to shut your mouth.
Have you learned any Norwegian words?
No. I actually need to start learning, because there's so many times when he's swearing in Norwegian, I'm like, I wonder what he's saying. Maybe he's talking about me, I don't know.
Yeah, I remember in BMW in London, when he sweared in Norwegian, and people were like not even reacting to it, and there was you could see who was from Norway in the crowd. It's kind of funny. And I was like, yeah,
I need to get some Norwegian swear words off you guys. So
yeah,
exactly,
we'll make sure we'll help you with that.
Okay, so in the end, Anders is wondering if you have a particularly funny story about Victor from your time on the tour so far. Is there any like special memory, or
except that he's
doesn't need to be funny,
late.
But I mean, is there any like anything that stands out?
Well, as I said, the one that stands out the most was, you know, last week when you know he was talking about the skydiving and how he couldn't do it, he'd shit himself, and you know I haven't seen that side of Victor where, you know, he has that vulnerability, to speak. So to think about him jumping out of the plane, I'm actually very excited for him to win the tournament, so we can, go through that experience together. That'd be awesome.
Hoping that happens in 2020.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're hoping that. Yeah. We also, before each PGA Tour tournament, we try to predict who's going to win. I think I was closest with Webb Simpson in at Sony Open, where I had Webb Simpson, and he finished second or third.
Okay.
So, but still, nobody has gotten it right. And the prize is a Norwegian waffle with something we call brunost. It's pretty good. I don't know if you've tasted brown cheese. It's really, really nice.
Okay.
Victor hasn't introduced you to
hasn't
that.
Introduced you to
no,
it?
No, no, I haven't been to Norway yet. So
no, you have to come.
Yeah,
you have
exactly.
to come.
About time.
We're looking forward to that. So we have our players. What's your player for the week?
I would love to say Victor, but every time I pick Victor, he misses a cut. So I'm not going to do that. I'm going to go John Rahm this week.
All right.
So hopefully I get that waffle.
I'll have to change mine then.
You have John Rahm?
I have a John Rahm.
I actually have Scotty Scheffler.
Scotty Scheffler. Yep. That's a good pick, actually.
I just think...
Okay, I'll change mine then. If you can.
No. John Rahm's okay. I'll go down to my second one.
What's your second one?
What's my second one? I have to choose between two, but then I'll go Webb Simpson then.
Wow.
I'll go Webb. Okay. I want to say Sung Jae Im, because I feel like there's a winner.
He's not a winner, though. He's a top 10 machine.
Yeah,
but
I feel like it has to happen sometime.
True.
He plays too many tournaments.
Ain't that the truth?
He's played like 45 tournaments.
For sure.
Yeah. I'll go Webb Simpson.
So with John Rahm wins, do you have a good reason to come to Norway?
Hey, John Rahm, you just say the word, I'll be there.
Perfect. Yeah.
Look forward to the invite.
Okay.
Thanks so much for joining us, Shay.
It was a pleasure.
Also, we have to thank the
guys. Your host.
Chad.
Your host.
Chad.
Yeah.
Chad.
Thanks, Chad.
Thank you, Chad, for letting us use the house for the podcast.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Shay.
Thanks for the...
And good luck this week.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate it.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.